This is Jeremiah's famous prayer, starting in verse 16. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, didn't we talk about this? Well, maybe I want her to do it again. And the Lord God, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great and the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. And then it goes on and on and on. But, and I don't mean to trivialize it at all, but I want to talk about He recompensed the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. Now, he's obviously talking about, normally when iniquity is used, it refers to the curse. Iniquity, self-seeking, the curse. So we don't have a choice in the matter. The iniquity of the fathers is passed on automatically to the children. And we don't think that's fair. It's not right that
doesn't say it that way.
Well, that's why the least talked about issue other than the cross in modern Christianity is the fall. Now, there was a study, I think it was by Barna, of the topical issues that say the, I don't know, the 20 best, I mean the 20 major topical issues of the Bible. And the fall was the least studied, even more, even lesser than the cross. It's just amazing to me. Anyhow, right, that's okay, that's enough about Busel. Let's go on.
Add in to that. I too am amazed that where it says as clear as can be that the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation, and yet people don't even know what it is.
No, they think the preaching of the cross is talking about Jesus on the cross back then.
Yeah.
They don't see it's the preaching of the cross now. Because again, it's the English language. There's way too many verb tenses and way too many descriptive adjectives. So they can't perceive that the fall is now, the cross is now.
Yeah. And they talk about it.
Yeah.
Not absorb it into themselves or whatever they say.
All right, Luke 16. Back to the verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger into the water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment, and I am tormented in the flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Now this great gulf in which it's impossible to pass from one place to another really, I remember this didn't make any sense to me. And so until I finally realized that all men die at the same time, because death is the only entrance into eternity, but the ones that don't go into eternity, which, because he alone has immortality, there's no way to get from hell or the grave to eternity without going through the cross. Does that make sense? The scripture that says, what is it about? He is the only way to get to God. And everybody thinks, well, they remember a lot of ways. What is that thing? No man cometh to God but through me. That's not a moral option, or it's talking about options of people. It's talking about this concept that all men die at the same instant. And that's hard to conceive of. That you would die the same time that Abel did. And Abel would die the same time Christ did. Because in eternity there's no time. And he is the only way to eternity through that death. You got a confused look on your face.
I don't see, there's something missing.
Well, the difference is that people talk about no man cometh to the Father but through me, as if you had to make a moral option now to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you would have no chance. Everybody that doesn't is going to hell. That's the issue. It's not our business who's going and who isn't going. And the only way, the reason Jesus said that, no man cometh to the Father but by or through me, is because all men die at the same instant, and they died at the cross.
Yeah, because at that cross, he took upon himself all sin and all of mankind.
Yeah, but it's even more than that. It's not a philosophical, it's a physical thing. The only way to eternity, you can't get to eternity from here. That's a great gulf. He is the only one that gets to eternity. He's the only one that has immortality.
The idea of dying, when he died, he did take everything with him.
The human race died.
That was the big death.
Well, only thing I'm trying to cause people to see is that this isn't a religious term, that no man cometh to the Father but by me. It's a scientific term. Remember, that's my little box. And it's God the Father is the eternity, God the Son is in time and space, and God the Holy Spirit is in space alone. Free to walk through, to go through all of space. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
takes a little contemplation to get to the nut here.
Would you say that again?
Would I say it?
Yeah.
I don't know on which part.
Scientific.
Oh, it's science, because it has nothing to do with religion. It's the construction of the universe. The universe is time and space. Eternity is the dwelling of God and the place of the New Jerusalem that everything was a model for on earth. To get to the New Jerusalem, you have to go through the cross. It's the only way. You can't get there from here by any other means. That's what the whole idea of the sheepfold was about. Anybody that tries to go over the wall or through another place except the door is a thief and a robber, and he can't get there anyway. But he thinks he's there. In other words, your death is the absolute requirement to pass through. Well, again, it's not our business. That's what it says. Go to 1 Peter.
There are a lot of people that don't.
Go to 1 Peter, please.
Accept it.
Go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4. This is important. Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick or the living and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached, is the gospel preached, and gospel will be preached. For this cause is the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Another one of the least studied scriptures in the Bible. Who shall give account? You can't. You can't. It's none of your business. For this cause, he's preaching to the dead, that they might be judged by men according to the flesh, as oh, blah, 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 but live according to God in the Spirit. Was that clear? Let's go to another place. Go to Romans 10. We think that these are issues that we have, that our free will gives us some choice over. They're not. They're more sure than gravity.
Where do we go?
Romans 10. Now, this is critical because it talks about righteousness. He'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because not because of what you do, it's too late for that. Of sin, because they believe not on him. Of righteousness, it's the only righteousness, is he's gone to the Father. And judgment is the only way you can judge anybody down, is the prince of the world who's been judged. All others, crap. Now, and here's the emphasis on it. Here's the exclamation point. Verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaking in this wise, say not in thine heart, or even in your inner being, who shall ascend into the heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith the word? What saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, thy cardia, thy inner being. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe that in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But when does that belief happen? It's not our business. Is it something I said? No, go ahead.
Stomach.
All right. Is that clear to everybody?
Where is that scripture that you said right before that, that we talk about all the time? I should remember, but the one that says Holy Spirit is convicting.
John 16, I think. It explains what Jesus told them what the Holy Spirit was going to do when he got there.
Did you move to John 16?
Yeah. But go ahead. What is it?
Well, this on Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead.
They left off the word that. Believe that in your heart he's raised from the dead, or in your inner being he's raised from the dead.
Well, something has to bring you to that point. You can't just read this and then say it.
Well, it's the only way it can be said with regard to a jillion other scriptures. Christ, where he's telling us to be afraid of, judge whether somebody's a false prophet or not. If they confess that Jesus is come in the flesh, then they're good. But if they confess he did come and he will come, then they're out of it. The only way you can confess that he is come is that he was raised in your heart. That's what happened at Pentecost. But he has to be resurrected in you. He has to be. Yes, but that has nothing to do with you accepting him as a personal Savior.
But so if that has happened, then your confession will flow out from you.
If you believe, you'll speak.
And here it says it. If you do this, it's almost like one of the four spiritual laws. You know?
Well, it's not.
No, and that's part of my point here is that you can't just read this and tell somebody say this and you'll be saved.
No, that's nothing to do with it. But that's what that's interpreted as.
Yes. So then, how is this place achieved? It's by God, I know.
If we confess with your mouth that Jesus is come in your flesh.
Yeah.
But to confess that, you have to confess your death. You can't have a life. Otherwise, your confession is meaningless. And you'll reproduce somebody else like the heresy that you're in.
I must be getting to is the confession is the way of your life, not just some rules that you.
Has nothing to do with it, right? It's what we read every time we sing. I think it's Psalm 116 where the scripture says I believe, therefore I spoke. Now, and I too have believed, therefore I speak. You can't speak that has any merit unless you truly believe it. Otherwise, the speaking is just more flesh crap.
Yeah, you're just following the law.
It has no difference than whether you're a Buddhist or an Islam or anything else. It has nothing to do with it. It's so hard for us to accept it. But this, Jesus Christ is only, it's your death. You can't live and be a believer. You cannot be alive. You cannot justify the use of your mind and be a believer. Because you died. That's why what appears to be so incredibly impossible, and the idea that you would empty yourself becomes natural if you see that all your thoughts are BS. It's as natural as breathing. You breathe out you breathe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's only job is to reveal him. This is to give you the anointing. The anointing is the Christ you have received. You have need of no man teach you. All right. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. And that sounds again like it's an option. It's much more than expedient. It's more sure than gravity. Here it sounds like it's an option. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, you understand that the Holy Spirit was essentially totally in other words, he had emptied himself at the baptism. When he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit had emptied himself totally into him. There was nothing else. Now, if you believe, it's hard for you to believe this, but the same thing has happened to us. The Holy Spirit has emptied himself into us. But he was released by Jesus Christ when he went to the Father. Then the Holy Spirit was released. So he couldn't be released to the fullness until he went to the Father. And again, that's more science than it is religion. But hear me. And when he has come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Now believe, again, it's our stupid word. We believe, oh, I think the light's on, I believe the light's on. This word, it's a pistis. It means you have no other choice. Your illusion of free will is gone. There's either the evil one or Christ. You're not there. And if you use your mind, you are continuing to worship the evil one. You'll convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I've gone to the Father. Of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. If you judge anything else as down or anything else up besides he's gone to the Father or the prince of the world has been judged, then you're just another... You've still eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you're just continuing to spout the same crap that Adam and Eve did after the fall. Oh, no, mine's good crap. Oh, these are the things that I learned as a child. This is my conscience. No. Just think of what this means. If you judge anything down, you're just a fool.
Yeah.
If you judge anything up, you're a greater fool. Does that make sense to anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you think you're doing it in God's name and that you have some ability to judge correctly.
All men have to judge good and evil. That's because that's the fall. But you certainly better not be. It keeps coming into me that this is nothing to do with religion. It has nothing, and I don't mean that as some. It's a different universe than religion. It has nothing to do with it. Oh, but I believe blah, 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 blah. Well, nobody cares what you believe. You shouldn't. Oh, I think this about that. Well, who cares? Nobody cares that I hate those labels up there. Nobody cares that I hate the little pieces of paper all over the place, so I pick it up every morning. Well, I didn't do it this morning. I hope you kick my butt if I judge something. Because if you judge something, I just take another bite out of the apple. Oh, this is how you do that. And you took another bite out of the apple. That's why the this confession thing, the absolute thing that has to be forbidden is while you're giving the people advice, people will give you advice how to do it, how to fix it or whatever. That's not, that's just eating the apple. Didn't this make any?
You know, I'm kind of saying it's like all these incidents in your everyday life, when you do judge, are like red flags. If you see, and then you turn from it.
Well, the evidence is that you've not entered the rest. The meaning of rest is is much greater than, well, I'm just going to rest my head. You've ceased from your own labors as God did from His. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today to enter that rest. Completely, not partially, not the day, it's not a day of the week, it's a life.
That can't have anything to do with what we're doing. You're either at rest or not.
Well, except that what you're doing isn't leading you. It just happens to be what came up that time, right, that instant. It's not, back to this constant real quick. Go to Revelation 14. To make sense out of all this, I hope. The three things that every believer wants. He wants the patience of the saints. He wants to be able to keep the commandments of God. And he wants the faith of Jesus Christ.
But he doesn't want to die.
Well, listen. Here, verse 12. Here is the patience. What does patience mean to you?
Steadfastness.
The only way you can possibly understand patience is to see the patience manifested in Christ as these idiots were berailing him just the whole thing, ever from the time of his baptism on, they're trying to catch him in a word. Isaiah says they make you an offender for a word. Trying to just catch him in the littlest thing. That's what people do to everybody. Oh, I'm just waiting so I can jump. But just think of what his patience was. Think of what he put up with, never defending himself, never exercising the power that he possessed. And all the idiots and peons and ants running around in the name of God, they never stopped. It was constant. Even among his disciples. Family thought he was nuts.
Everything
in you is telling you not to them.
Everything what?
Your mind is constantly telling you not to. The mind's got a great idea of how to get even.
Yeah.
And every time it does, you can't give it the slightest bit of breath. Your mind's got a great idea how you can solve your problems. You can never, never, ever lean to it. Otherwise, you're just another. Here's how I do that. No.
We think of Jesus when he was being scourged and spit on and all the other things that happened on the way to the cross. He didn't respond. Which, how do you do that?
All right, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Never, ever, ever leave them. That's all your mind wants to do, is develop an idea that you can take to the bank. It can fix you, it can fix something. And if God has its hand on you, then those ideas will fail. Because the Holy Spirit is convicting you where you're not believing on Him. And this is the rest that you enter. The same as the Sabbath. You cease from your own labors as God did from His. Here, the voice from heaven said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Doesn't get any better than that. But it's something your mind cannot stand. Your mind will always justify the use of it. Amen?
Our rest is because in Christ the work has been finished, and that knowledge of that life gives us the same, not ability, but it's the same.
Well, it is the same if you let it be, but if you continue using your own mind, then it's not. Then you've left the labor. You return to labor.
And God finished His work, then He rested. Christ finished His work and rested.
No, He wants you to have finished your work and rested, so that your works never again lead you.
So our work should already be finished.
Well, your life is finished, so your works are finished.
Yeah, if we're going to rest, then that.
The only way you can rest in this context is you see your death. Because your mind will never, ever let you rest.
Yeah.
Your mind's got some great idea. Some of you even had a great ideas folder.
Some. I have one too. I confess.
I know. You write lists every morning.
I'm a doer.
List makers. Ode to the list makers. I've got an ode to the list makers I'll read for you one day. Let's see it. Let's live it 24 hours a day. But it costs you everything. Maybe you're not ready for that. That's okay. Take it, big guy. It's not okay, but it's understandable. Every time we start back in Luke, I seem to go on a rant every day.